Turn with me this morning to the 14th Psalm. Very familiar psalm, at least the first verse of this psalm is. I think Paul and I were talking the other day about the old body. It's wired up so intricately with all these nerves and things. How could anybody say there is no God?
Yeah.
It is a marvelous work. How that men are born and grow and develop and then die. The whole thing is absolutely marvelous. It's outside of the knowledge of man, that's for sure. The psalmist said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He must have thought this pretty important because he repeated this same thing in the 53rd chapter of the book of Psalms. And he said, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none that doeth good.
Yeah.
In the day in which we live, it'd take us to task about that. Yeah. They're all good. Yeah. All of them have a little spark of divinity, and all we got to do is flame it up a little bit. It'll be wonderful. But it's not so, and I don't think he means here either that a man in his mind could even say there is no God.
Not really.
His old conscience, Lord, that's another mysterious thing about a man, is that deep within him, he put a conscience within him that testifies that there is a God.
Yeah.
He can't get away from it.
Right.
That's the reason that they try so hard to prove that there is no God. And I don't know who they're trying to convince. The others more or themselves more. And I've been around people that declare that. Now, it's not anything new to me that, a fellow might say that there is no God. But I think it has a different meaning here in that I believe it's what we see in our day.
Yeah.
Men know that there is a God, but they don't want him to be ruling over them. And they have declared that he is not ruling or reigning or governing in this world. It's all just kind of wobbling along, and it's all by chance. And we see that all around us. It's over and over chance. Perhaps, maybe. And if not, we'll try to insure against it.
Yeah.
We'll do something to not have it. Back in the 10th chapter of the Psalms also, in verse 2, he said, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. And all this stuff comes by the imagination of man. It's just like, well, God cannot just save anybody he wants to. They must be willing. salvation, they claim, is by man. And that he must be willing. God can't do it unless he's willing to do it.
Yeah.
Well, they've taken the power of God and transformed it to man.
Right.
When God is the ruler of all things. He made the earth and man and everything that's in it. And he ruled over it from the day that he created it until this day. He has not missed one stroke. And he rules over it. And in verse 4, he said, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts." That's what Paul was just talking about a while ago. I thought how fitting that he had mentioned that this morning. He just don't want to think about it. That's the reason that there is so much busyness. Is to try to get God out of mind. Because it is a torment to man in his natural state.
Right.
He's at enmity with God and he cannot help it. He's born that way. In sin.
Yeah.
Now in verse 13 in this same 10th chapter, it said, "Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? Hath he said in his heart, Thou wilt not require it?" And certainly that's what man has said today, that God just cannot do these things. These judgments cannot be.
Yeah.
We will overcome. Not only that, but by their own power. There again, they have placed their power above that of God. Verse 14 said, "Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless." But outside of that, man's same way. Going on in chapter 14, said, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." Well, he didn't need to look. He already knew that. But it places him and man in a different relation. He looked down to see.
Yeah.
And they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. Are they stinking? They're rotten.
Yeah.
And he stinketh, and there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call upon the Lord? There were they in great fear. That's what I was talking about a while ago. Torment. And they're fearful. One is explaining a leaf making little noise. They'd be afraid of it. Fear is in him. And he keeps trying to do something to appease God in his natural state. And there is no appeasement with God that comes from man. God's angry God over sin in the world. And man, when he looked down and saw man, in the state, not only that he had been born in, but he had digressed even further from that. They talk about how dumb man was in way back in antiquity. He was so dumb. But that's not so. Man was built in a state of much knowledge. But he has digressed from that because he continued to say in his heart there is no God, so he must take up that position. If all the workers of iniquity know knowledge, sure, who eat up my people? No, they do it. They know what they're doing. There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. They understand that. That's what I said. Man's not totally dumb. But he is at enmity with God. That's the thing.
Right.
It isn't a matter of knowledge.
Right.
It's a matter of man's heart being changed. Otherwise, he's still at enmity.
Right.
I don't care what he tries to do. Oh, let's see. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. But it won't be any doing of man. It'll be all of the Lord. Over in the 59th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and I don't know where to start and stop here either. I guess we begin in verse 12. Matt, take note of verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. He can do whatsoever he pleases. Man's contention is, though, that he can't do it outside of the will of man. Also, he says it must be a combination of things, man and God. But it's all God. In verse 12, I guess, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. It's always, that testimony is always there. It's in the conscience of man. It says, you are a sinner, and what you are doing is sinful. He may have some good thoughts, but they ultimately will turn to sin, because that's his nature. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. Can't lay anything off on God. It's built in man to know them. Because of that, he has to be busy to try to get those things out of his mind that keeps coming back and tormenting him. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, receiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. He said in his heart. And he keeps on trying to convince himself and others that he runs with that this thing is right. He said, and judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. It's guarded at the door. Man won't let it come. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey, and the Lord saw it. He looked down and saw it. And it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man. That's when he looked down. There wasn't any. And wondered that there was no intercessor. Now, this didn't catch God by surprise. He knew it wouldn't. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and clad with zeal as a cloak, according to their deeds. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So they fear the name of the Lord from the west, in his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Oh, it's going to be a testimony unto the sickness, the stinking of man. And a Redeemer shall come to Zion. This is our only hope.
Amen.
And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my Spirit that is upon thee, and all my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever.
Amen.
Back in the 53rd Psalm, we look at that one verse that he's added here. There's one verse that's different than the 14th. In verse 5, and he said, there were they in great fear, where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Now he's talking now to the house of the Lord. What do we fear? What do we have to fear? Where no fear was, for the Lord scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame because God hath despised them that don't bow to his name.
That was what was declared out in San Antonio when we were trying to teach the truths of God's sovereignty. One young man that I think he'd been to seminary a couple of years. He just declared that God would not violate his free will.
God's free will or his free will?
The man's free will. In other words, if he didn't want God to save him, he wasn't going to do anything about it. He'd just have to go on. But, Bruce and I were talking yesterday. Bruce was saying, it kind of gets frustrating sometimes that he can't convince other people. I guess that's kind of the way I felt out there. Was trying to convince them and it just didn't work.
It convinced me.
So,
I was having a problem.
You got convinced before you were convinced.
But that is the truth that men keep trying to say there is no God. But his conscience keeps telling him different. Kind of like someone said about the war. He said there's no atheist in the foxholes. Somehow or another, when men get in trouble, all of a sudden they believe, don't they? I guess they get to the point to where they don't have any choice then, and that they start to believe that there is a God, and hope that that maybe he likes them. I don't know. Man's mind is a strange thing, isn't it?
James pretty well laid that to rest when he said, "Thou believest there's a God, yeah. Thou doest well. But even the devils believe and tremble."
Yeah, at least they tremble.
Yeah.
Most men don't even do that. But there is a God. And again, the conscience bears witness of it. Now, the one thing the conscience will not do, it will not change that enmity toward God. The only thing that will do that is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Being born of the Spirit of God. And then it will all change.
Amen.
Behold, all things, old things rather, have passed away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all things have become new. Why are things the way they are today? Why is God not saving? My wife and I are sitting out on the back porch. It's unusual for us to do that, but we were doing it yesterday afternoon. And we're just talking about that very same thing. Why is God not saving people? Or why aren't people being saved today any more than we see that happening? And of course, again, the answer is because that is the will of God, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with us praying for the salvation, and we do, of our loved ones, our families, our friends, but that's not going to change God. The elect have been known of God from before the foundation of the world. And that's our consolation. Again, is it not a one that God has chosen in Christ Jesus will perish? Not a single one. And guess what? God knows where every one of them are right now, or will be. So the fool. Who has said in his heart there is no God? The fool. Yeah, the fool. Well, I'm not a fool. Yeah, you are. If you're trying to do away with the knowledge of God, it's the most foolish thing that can happen to you or to anyone else.